Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions we express do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. If you would like to support the show, go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar and check out our Patreon campaign.
I'm surprised you don't have a loofah.
Like a rough exfoliating sponge thing?
I think that's what it's called. It's a loofah, right?
Yeah, I think that, like, so there's those. I use the you're going to make fun of me for saying this. Like the poof, the puff thing, you know, for see again.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
No, it's like the tangled netting thing that you buy for like $1.50 at the store.
No, I know what it is.
And it disperses body wash in a nice foam. I use those. I use that. I don't know when I got started doing that, but it works. It is an effective way of doing that. Is that weird?
It could be. Loofah evidently is a skeletonized vegetable.
Ugh.
Right?
Yeah.
You should probably stop using a loofah in the shower. I keep reading these articles recently that you're supposed to stop showering. Like, we're showering too much. We're keeping our bodies from, like, we're shedding things we shouldn't shed. We're interfering with the biological processes that grow in our crevices.
See, those biological processes stink, is the thing. Not like in the critic sense, like, it stinks. But I mean, like, you know, showering on a regular basis, no matter what the frequency is, you just kind of do it because that's what you do. And you want people to be comfortable. You do it for other people.
I always imagine that John Lovett stinks.
I don't know, in
the critic sense.
Man, The Critic is a good show.
What was another cartoon of that time? Can't remember what it was, though. God damn it.
Describe it. I can probably.
It had the guy, the one older doctor from Scrubs.
Kelso?
He was the voice.
Hmm.
The guy with the weird mustache.
I don't think he had a mustache.
Yeah, what was it? God damn it. Now I have to look up Scrubs.
Yeah, now you're going to go down that. I've lost you for the entire episode. As you comment on Zach Braff's entire filmography.
God damn it. I think it's Donald. Nope, that's the black guy.
Donald Faison? D-Face?
John C. Yep, John C. McGinley.
Oh, yeah, one of the Bobs from Office Space. He's a funny guy.
Yeah, I guess he was, wasn't he?
Yeah. You think I lie?
Did a cartoon. I'm pretty sure he did a cartoon.
And I mean, if you're thinking of The Tick, that was Patrick Warburton, also
known
as... Yeah,
that's the one, The Tick. Sorry.
Yeah, that's Putty. That's Putty from... is it? Damn it. Fuck. Now I can't remember. It, like, The Tick might be John C. McGinley.
It is not.
No.
Nope.
No.
Although he has a tick.
He's
yeah. It's Putty. It's Putty.
Oh, but the They're Tick cartoon. I mean, it was a goddamn, Chris. We're down a hole. Like, there's, like, I don't know how to edit this. I don't know how to make this listenable. Putty played the live action version of the Tick, but I don't know who voiced the Tick in the animated series.
There's a new Tick, a TV series that says 2016.
Yeah. But then there was the 1994 series. Who voices of? Oh, I don't know who any of those people are. Mickey Dolenz and Rob Paulsen. I know who Cam Clark is. Cam Clark voiced Michelangelo and also Liquid Snake.
Who's Liquid Snake?
Is a character from Metal Gear Solid.
What about Krang?
Krang was the brain. People think that that Krang was the robot, or at least I did, but no, Krang is the brain that lives in the robot's belly.
Hey, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Krang is the brain that lives in the robot's belly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, everybody remembers that line from My Fair Lady.
How high are you?
See, again, it is explain this to a parent. Explain this to somebody in authority. Yeah.
No, oh, well, what are you going to do?
I don't know.
I think most of your listeners get the Krang reference.
I think they do. I think that we're laser targeted at people who not only have affection for TMNT, as I call it, but really, really are down for the mythology. I think they have a lot of knowledge. I think that they can speak with some authority about the way that series fits together.
You think they get a Sergeant Slaughter reference?
Sergeant Slaughter? Is that G.I. Joe?
He was a character introduced during the Gulf War on WWF.
During the Gulf War?
Yeah, during the first Gulf War, Sergeant Slaughter.
Oh, it's when Storm and Norman had to leave the Federation in order to go lead the lead the insurgency.
Storm and Norman, he actually won a Presidential Medal of Freedom. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
General Colin Powell got two.
Hmm. Wow, Sergeant Slaughter is actually a G.I. Joe character. I don't know how I pulled that out.
Yeah, it was a cooperative crossover.
Trying to really make sure kids understood the international dynamics of the Kuwait police action. Huh. Yeah, Sergeant Slaughter looks like what was that villain from Chiller Park Boys, Private Dancer? Yeah.
I don't know.
He was like the military guy who took over in like season 9 or something.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I can't remember what his name is. The British guy.
Yeah.
Actually wasn't in the military.
Right. Well, he was, but he was only private. His last name was Dancer. He was Private Dancer. That was his undoing when people realized that, because Private Dancer is a song, I think.
The evolution of ring names is something that people should probably get into too. I'm not particularly into wrestling.
No.
In any way, shape, or form, but you know, the guy starts out with his real name. Then he changes the last name. I wonder if there's any similarities between like how people evolve their names in porn and professional wrestling.
I think that
because you can see it, like he's Bob Ramus, and then he's Bob Slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, and then he became the executioner.
Then he became a director, and he was Harold Ramus for a little bit.
Right, and then he was Matt Burns. I don't know. Then he's Sergeant Slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
Then that morphs into Super Destroyer Mark.
Hi, I'm Ultimate Destruction Dan. Oh gosh, wow. So he is in G.I. Joe. That's where I know him from. Sergeant Slaughter actually provided the voice for Sergeant Slaughter. He was the most successful toy character. Sergeant Slaughter himself became the spokesman for G.I. Joe toys from 89 to 90.
Can't do that today.
No,
you cannot have someone, a child's toy named Sergeant Slaughter.
No, because the politically correct SJWs will come in and say, no.
Why is Sergeant Slaughter not, why is he not an alt-right spokesman?
I don't know. I think if you go far enough, deep enough, basically any, my favorite section of any Wikipedia article is either the controversy or anything that ends in - present. So here we have 2005 to present, and it's always like a ridiculous amount of time. Like if you go look up like the article for the band Train, it's like 2002 to present.
They have a new song.
I don't know.
It's called Play That Song.
Yeah.
And it's a riff off of another song. You know the song that what's his name? Tom Hanks and the
Robert
guy,
Loggia.
Yeah, Robert Loggia. Yeah. What they play on the giant keyboard and
it's Heart and Soul is the song they play.
Yeah, yeah. So this play that song is it's actually that's what the song is. It's Heart and Soul.
Ugh, that sounds awful.
But it's play that song.
Yeah. I don't know. I pulled Train because that is an easy band to make fun of, but
so is Nickelback.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know that Chad Kroeger is married to Avril Lavigne?
I thought they divorced.
I think they're still together.
I thought they had maybe late 90s toxicity.
Oh yeah. That weird it's like lead poisoning, but it's from Neon.
Right. Yeah, they just from snap bracelets.
Yep. Snap bracelets and slap bracelets and swatches.
So what's a swatch?
I think it is a type of watch that has gone
slap bracelet with a swatch.
Maybe.
Huh. No, it's a thing.
Oh, they're divorced, but Avril Lavigne will still come out and defend Nickelback, saying they've sold 50 million albums. So
cool.
Yeah, good for them. I don't know. If I wanted to be real authentic, I would say like something like 9 days or something like that.
Wasn't she banging Sir Dave Coulier?
No, that was I think you're thinking of Alanis Morissette.
Oh, that makes more sense.
Yeah. No, people worked it out. Basically, the same amount of detective work that went into figuring out what the very good day was that Ice Cube was singing about. People basically narrowed it down to You Oughta Know being about Dave Coulier.
Sorry, I thought that was about Building 7 falling.
Yeah. Google it.
Yeah. you want to fall down a rabbit hole.
Hey, Chris, what episode is this?
Episode 198.
Yeah.
Right? Of the comedy podcast, Those Damn Ross Kids.
Yeah. Your name is?
My name is Chris.
My name is Cole. We're here to entertain your asses, mostly reading Wikipedia and trying to draw connections between Sergeant Slaughter and Avril Lavigne. Yeah, I have no idea what depths of knowledge, just information, binary code encased in amber led me to recall, then basically to hear Sergeant Slaughter and think, oh, that's a G.I. Joe villain, thinking I was speaking hyperbolically because of course there's a G.I. Joe villain named Sergeant Slaughter. But then no, like that is actually accurate and it's also a real person.
I don't know. What do kids play with?
I think I asked you this. I asked you like what kids got excited about.
I think that you were sitting up for the ride, daddy, or whatever.
Yeah, for the giddy up daddy or the pony up daddy or something.
Yeah,
daddy pony.
Ride me to prison, daddy.
Oh no!
Oh no!
Yeah. I think we were talking about that and people like, I can't remember exactly what it is, but like there's like something like Shopkins or I think the big thing now is web connected toys.
Yeah. And like, drones and VR and
yeah,
there's nothing real about toys. I'm looking at the most popular toys. There's no wonder nobody knows what they want to be because they can't dress up and act like it.
Well, you can pilot a drone.
Oh no, Mecha Godzilla.
It's like, oh wait, is there a Mecha Godzilla toy on the top list?
No.
Okay, because that would be baller. Mecha Godzilla is great.
There's a selfie stick that's, I don't know, attached to a microphone so you can film yourself singing karaoke.
Huh.
Everything. Things connected.
Yeah, I mean everything literally is, but like there are toys that you can buy. Chris, get this. There are toys that you buy and the toy isn't the thing the kids want. Kids want the number that's on the tag so they can enter it into a website for a branded experience. Can you believe this?
That's the webkin thing, right?
I think. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that ran its course.
did it.
Yeah. Now, if Beanie Babies would have done it, that'd have been cutting edge.
Back in 99?
Oh, yeah.
I'm positive that, like, somebody made enough money to, like, basically fund a good college education if they invested it wisely by making some kind of, like, weird Beanie Baby database back in, like, 99. Like, a place where people could go and mark off their collections and talk about their stuff. Like, an entire Beanie Baby community, I think, would have been a real good ground floor to get in on.
True.
Yeah.
Can I tell you a story?
You can if you want.
A new study found that children who are highly engaged with superheroes are more likely to be aggressive a year later. So the study found that kids do not copy the altruism of superheroes, only the aggression.
because the altruism comes through in the boring talky parts. You want them to beat the shit out of somebody.
Yes, this was actually a pretty good study. It's 240 preschool and kindergartners, 4 sites across the United States, analyzed their levels of 3 types of aggression, physical, relational, and verbal.
Okay.
Parents reported on their kids' favorite superheroes and just how long the kids had been fans of them, how much they watched the movies, the television shows, and how, you know, strongly they felt their kids identified with their favorite hero. Found that the kids were, aggressive and that media made it that way. They also found that children were not found to be emulating superheroes in other ways. They weren't trying to defend people or fight crime. These kids weren't out fighting crime. They were just beating each other up.
Yeah, because that's what you do.
Said that they found that for kids of a young age, it's difficult to disentangle the aggressive behaviors of superheroes from the good pro-social stuff.
Right, because their movie's about Punch Mans.
Right.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, that's
difficult.
It's not surprising, but like violent media has been a thing since forever. So
yeah, but not like the Sergeant Slaughter. I mean, you can't do that. So I just wish that they would call it what it is. That's the problem.
It's difficult
to entangle it because it's wrapped in PC, man.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Like,
oh, because it's like a euphemism. Like Captain America's out there talking about duty to country, but he's still wanging people over the head with a shield.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. Because Sergeant Slaughter, his actions and his words are the same today. Only now he's a gecko wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
Chris, did you just draw a direct line from Sergeant Slaughter to Rango?
I think so.
Okie doke. Hi, I'm Rango. I'm here to murder you. Don't run. It wouldn't be a good idea to run, I don't think. I don't know.
I think the entire crusade of Rango was trying to kill Chemical Ali.
Yep. It was a very thinly veiled metaphor. It was panned by critics for being a little bit indelicate about its true purpose.
True.
Yeah. It's kind of like how the Hangover was about the Pacific Trade Partnership.
It's a cow with a last name Al-Baghdadi.
Oh man. A similar story. Go ahead.
Why is that Rango fighting terrorism? That's the problem, man.
Well, no, like there's so much good that he could do, you know, walking around being a Johnny Depp ass motherfucker. You know, there's a lot of good that he could do, but he's just not. He's not doing it. And I think that it speaks poorly of us all that we're not holding him to the standard where this gecko wearing a Hawaiian shirt won't get out there and start busting some heads. People are dying, Rango.
I think you could change the image of things. But maybe if Rango hosted the radical Islamic Bake Off.
the Ribo? The Rango Ribo?
They won't say it. They won't say radical Islamic Bake Off.
Rango will not say the words. He just won't say the words.
He won't call it what it is.
Yeah. Well, I think Rango is very, very concerned about instigating more aggression and feeding into the violence in a way.
Rango's terrified of being outed as Sergeant Slaughter.
Are you saying Sergeant Slaughter is Johnny Depp?
Yes, I am. And if you look on the 32nd page of that of the dossier, which I think is awesome that Dossier is in the news. Maybe by now Dossier is not in the news because I know this is the second episode.
Yeah, this is like a month later. Oh man, okay. what a treat that was. If we can look back at that dossier.
I hope by now the video's out. I really do.
Oh yeah.
I hope there's the microfilms.
Yeah, the microfilm, I think, is it's just a nice gift. There's not an awful lot to celebrate nowadays.
I know when I hate people, I pay women to piss in their bed they slept in.
Yeah, there's no charitable interpretation of that. Like, he simultaneously is doing something incredibly petty, wasting what must be a good deal of money, destroying property, and kind of tacitly degrading women. It's pretty great.
It's a good summary of his character.
Oh yeah, it feeds in just like most of the things that he says about people he doesn't like, or people who or just like any organization that opposes him. Sad, pathetic, failing, doomed is just kind of stuff that, like, you know,
loser.
Yeah, he says that because he's sensitive that people have called him those things before. So like, it is like he is a straight pipe for projection. It's awesome.
Straight pipe. I doubt it.
Well, you know, it's fine. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Yeah.
No, that's good. I'm glad.
I've got another story here again, since we're talking about money, we're talking about empires, we're talking about real estate, we're talking about children's toys, all this plays in. Chris, it's that time again. For the first time since 2013, Hasbro, let me check and make sure that, yes, Hasbro, the company that brought us My Little Pony, is opening up the ballots. We can decide, we can vote on what the new Monopoly pieces are going to be.
From 56 options.
Yep. Nothing is safe. You know, that Scotty dog, go to hell, Scotty dog. Cat, hey, that cat, I know you just got there. You're going to hell. Because you know what's coming in? A dinosaur. We didn't learn a lesson. We didn't stop to think if we could or should. We're just going to get rid of you. Old ass boot, you're gone. Wheelbarrow, who uses those anymore? We have dump trucks. They do the same thing, right? Come on. So among the options, I'm on their shitty interactive website. Among their options,
turn your volume down if you go to vote.
Yeah, that happened to me earlier. They have some pretty cool stuff. Like they've got like a little bonfire. They've got like a wheel for some reason, like a straight up ass wagon wheel, a trumpet. Just kind of good stuff that feels kind of in line with what
a hashtag.
See, I was going to get to that. Then you have over here on the internet shelf, a hashtag. You have different emojis. So you have a Mr. Monopoly emoji. What? It's not Mr. Monopoly. It's rich Uncle Pennybags. Don't deny your heritage, Hasbro.
It won't call him Monopoly. What he is. That's the problem.
Again,
it won't say the words.
We're afraid to call Rich Uncle Pennybags what he is.
We're afraid to respect him for what he's done. We have to call him Mr. Monopoly.
Mr. Monopoly.
Because he's the top 1% of the top 1%.
But then you also have smiley face emoji, the kissy face emoji, if you want to be a real creep. Hey, I want to take the kissy face emoji. Or the crying with laughter emoji. What's going on?
Rolex, a turtle, a boat.
Yeah. Well, I'm down with the turtle. Like, I think that like all of these pieces should just be animals.
A rubber duck.
Yep. I want a horse. Like, why isn't there a horse piece?
Penguin. A rooster.
Yep. A surfboard.
Oh, that is something.
Yeah. There are any number of good things. I think that, like, the, I mean, it's a very, it's a very ingenious ploy, because I found out about this and I thought about Monopoly for the first time in 10 years because there is just a smattering of articles on different sites, like mainstream news sites, you know, the failing mainstream crooked media that was saying like, oh, could will Hasbro deface Monopoly and put a hashtag in the game? It's up to you.
There's a bathtub.
Yeah. Bunny slippers. Come on.
Some of these have to be probably more expensive for them to produce.
Yeah, there's some that have that, like, moving parts. Like, there's a helicopter one.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if some of these are, like, will break, too.
Mm.
Are they made of real gold?
No, I think so the old ones, the classic, over here in the kind of, like, the showroom area, those are silver. Right. You know, those are a little bit older. They've been around. They're classy. They're, you know, prestigious. But then you got the up and comers. They're in gold. I don't think they're actually going to be made of gold, although I'm positive that a solid gold Monopoly set is a thing.
Oh, yeah. The 24 karat edition.
Really?
Yeah. That's real.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, it's like it comes in like a mahogany box that is the box is the board. And yeah, that's for real. For somebody who would like leaves the game out, it's a showpiece, Cole.
Yeah. So it shows that you have way too much money and also terrible taste in board games.
Would say that, you loser.
Yeah. Get up on that Catan shit, you piece of garbage.
That's real. It's got like drawers that slide out of the side, and the center of the board is actually like felt.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's good.
Yeah, really, it quiets down the Monopoly experience, rolling on felt. It's like playing craps.
Why don't they just, instead of voting and including them standard, why don't they just sell the pieces separately?
Oh, yeah, take like the Lego approach. Like, you can get a blind bag with Monopoly pieces.
Right. Yeah. See, that makes more sense to me.
Yeah. No, I think that there has to be a canonical set that comes with them, just because, you know, they're like that is part of the brand. You know, the part of the brand is that somebody is going to, you know, people are going to fight over the car. I'm not going to be the boot, you piece of shit. I'm going to be the car.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
I got another story for you.
Okay.
It's about birds. Yeah, you love birds. So this is right up your alley. In more than one way. You fly more than 100 miles for love. You get rejected. You fly another 100 miles, another rejection, and another. That's the high-flying but futile sex life of the male pectoral sandpiper. Okay. Looking for love in northernmost Alaska.
Okay.
Looking for love in almost downtown Cincinnati.
Jesus. Good.
Yep. The study finds some males, they found one bird who flew 8,100 miles in 24 sorties looking for a hookup.
like 8,100 or 81,000, I forget.
8,100 miles.
Yeah, 8,100 miles as the sandpiper flies.
As the sandpiper does not get laid.
Yep. Because that is enough to go from Alaska all the way around to like Britain or something like that. Something ridiculous.
Yeah. Says copulations are incredibly rare. The males need to try and try and keep at it.
Well, you gotta put yourself out there. I think, you know, you have to be tenacious without being desperate, you know.
Right. Yeah. I wonder what these birds' response rate on Tinder is.
Yeah, just, you know, just a lot of pecking left, you know, just waiting and seeing, keeping the options open, you know.
Yeah,
you gotta play the field, you know.
The males sandpiper forgo sleep as they embark on nonstop flights in search of bird. What do you call that?
Cloaca. Yeah, they're just they're out there trying to get beak deep in cloaca.
In search of a mate, getting by on snatches of, well, that's not a good word. Getting by on snatches of shut eye lasting several seconds at a time.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like if you stop and think about it, you never really see a bird sleep.
No, you don't. And you never really see them do their thing. It's just, I don't know. Maybe there's a Craigslist for sandpipers, you know? Because those guys on Craigslist, they'll drive, what, 100 miles?
Yeah. Nothing creepy. I'll bring you some McDonald's. It's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
What a pathetic little bird. Cuckle-doodle-doo.
Cuckle?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I was just making fun of the word cuck.
What is cuckold?
Yeah. I mean, you were joking about the all right before. You know about cuck, right?
It's a word.
Yeah. So
it's an internet word, isn't it?
Yeah. It's an internet word. God, I can't believe I'm describing cuck to you. Cuck is used. Like cuckoldry porn. Usually it's somebody who is watching his wife get fucked by another person. There's also a racial component, because usually in cuckold porn, the aggressor, the third party who is coming in and cuckolding the first person is black. And so the alt-right has taken to calling, people
who like gets out of the fold, right?
No, like somebody who is not like immediately interested in starting the racial holy war. Like, oh, you're obviously a cuck because you tolerate black people existing. So you want them going around and screwing your daughter and committing white genocide. Like that is the idea. So, you know, if somebody is a cuck, they're progressive insofar as they do not actively try and hurt or hate people of color. Yeah. So
okay.
It's just a matter of taking the word cuck back. It's pretty funny.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I did read that about the alt-right.
Yeah. It's a thing. Back, let's say like late 2015, the word cuckservative ended up hitting the mainstream news cycle for a while as the alt-right was trying to, you know, kind of like break out of its bounds and, get a little bit more mainstream. So you would have like screenshots and video of like CNN or Fox News talking about this new accusation, cuckservative. So conservatives who are not properly retrograde on racial issues. You know, basically anybody who would criticize Donald Trump on the Republican side was obviously throwing white women to the dogs. God, this is a fucked up world. I'm ready to be quit of it.
Like, why are we making words up?
Because it's funny, but it's also incredibly sad. Like, it says so much about the person who says it unironically. It's a, yeah. See, now that you know this, you're going to hear it everywhere. It pops up a lot.
Yeah, I guess I'm in the wrong circles.
Oh, man.
I don't know why they white nationalism.
Yep. It's a thing. All right, it's just another word for neo-Nazi. Yeah. I've got, so since you gave me that nature story, I don't know how funny this is, but it's a fantastic little tale. So I just want to relate it, okay?
Okay.
So in Guatemala, not Guatemala, sorry. In Honduras, there is a city called Ciudad Blanca, or White City, has been abandoned since the 16th century. Okay. So, you know, for 500 years it's been abandoned, and basically all the tribes around that place, basically every story is that it is a cursed location, that anybody who goes there will die, that there is some kind of wrath of the gods. It is the city of the monkey god is what it is, you know, is what it's called. Nobody goes there. But here, recently, a group of explorers have decided to go, and it's 32,000 kilometers into the Mosquitia rainforest. And they went in there and they explored it. And it's like a big ancient city. You know, they're fighting off venomous snakes. It's like real Indiana Jones shit, right?
Okay.
But the problem is that, Chris, the curse is real.
What happened to him?
Okay. So the curse is actually disease, leishmaniasis, which is a parasitic infection. The parasite is carried by sand flies. And so what happens is when these sand flies bite you, the parasites get into the bloodstream and start eating away at immune cells that normally kill the bug. So it is like an anti-immune parasite kind of thing. So leads to fever and vomiting. Chris, the ultimate kind of fate of somebody who is infected with this. I need to actually like look at this. Your nose falls off. Your lips fall off, and eventually your face becomes a gigantic open sore. The parasite migrates to the mucous membranes of your mouth and your nose and basically eats them away. So it gets under the fascia of your face, and it's like a flesh-eating
worm.
Yeah, it's a flesh-eating worm, like a tiny little parasitic infection. And what's crazy is you can see like statues in this place where the faces are like effaced, like kind of rubbed off. And so like this crew of explorers goes in there and realizes, oh yeah, the curse is real and nobody should go there. Everybody in this area was totally right because it sucks. One of the explorers came back. Fortunately, most people got saved before it was too late. But it's just too dangerous, and just getting out is dangerous. So like, this is crazy that in 2016, the story "The Curse of the Monkey God" is real. I don't know. Like I read this. Like, is that not bad as fuck? Like, it's pretty great, right?
I have to retitle my book.
The title of your book, "The Curse of the Monkey God," debunked.
I was gonna send Geraldo there.
What was it over Christmas? Christmas break, we were talking about Geraldo's vault. Why did you ask them about the opening of Geraldo's vault? Our parents and grandparents.
I just wondered because I don't know when it was. I heard something about it, and it was like, oh, what? Did you guys watch that live? Like, was that a thing?
Yeah. It's not Geraldo's vault. Geraldo opened it. It was Al Capone's vault, and like on the bottom, there's just like it was empty. There were soda cans, there were candy wrappers, and then a used condom. National television.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have an article about a disease.
Okay.
And I think I have to read this whole thing. Smallpox has been eradicated and the vaccine is no longer necessary, but the infectious disease used to kill millions and is credited with taking down Pharaoh Ramses.
I think he's a big deal.
The Roman Empire and the Aztec Empire. It also inspired the first vaccination in 1796 when a doctor scratched the infected pus from a cowpox blister into a boy's arm and a few weeks later tried to infect him with smallpox but found that the boy had been inoculated. Mm-hmm. By the time the U.S. Civil War rolled around in the 1860s, vaccination via less dangerous cowpox virus was common knowledge. Soldiers rightfully feared smallpox. With only one doctor for every 133 soldiers in the North and one for every 324 soldiers in the South, many Civil War soldiers took matters into their own hands. When they spotted a cowpox blister, they cut themselves and filled the wound.
Yuck.
But here's the thing. Well, they thought that they spotted a cowpox blister, but the thing about cowpox blisters is they look a lot like syphilis shankers.
Oh, God. Uh-oh.
So a lot of these guys like, syphilis,
it was spread from like ruminants. Yeah. So it was like cows and sheep and shit. Yeah.
Right.
All right.
So it turns out a lot of them were scratching venereal disease instead of cowpox.
Just putting it directly into their wounds.
Right. And at that time, and it's amazing how far we've come because they were like, oh shit, cowpox. I need to scratch what I think is a cowpox blister with a rusty nail, a clothespin, or even a pocket knife.
I mean, one of those things is not like the other. I think a rusty nail might be the least suited for that task.
The rusty nail gets the worm, right?
Yep.
So a lot of people, instead of doing, you know, a lot of people escaped horrible diseases by using a rusty nail to prick their prick. So a lot of them, they died from not cowpox, but from syphilis.
Yeah, syphilis. Apparently that's a really terrible way to go.
Yeah. So don't use a rusty nail to scratch your body and fill it with other person's bodily fluids.
That's a wisdom to live by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It's amazing how one thing looks like another.
But it's like, I also love the idea of rogue like rogue virology or rogue rogue inoculation. That just this had passed around as like folk wisdom, right? Because like at that level, that doesn't become like, that's not too different from, hey, if you chew on this kind of bark, you will your pain will go away or lessen, and then that turns around and then it just gets right into, oh, this bark is what we use to make aspirin, right?
Like I guess
most of the shit that we have is just kind of derived from something else out there. So like it like one of those things is not, it's not terribly different, except it's riskier, because again, you are taking a pus covered rusty nail and putting it into your wounds.
I think that's a good crunkcore band name, Rogue Inoculation.
pick it up.
Crunk.
Seriously, pick it up, catch it. I don't know why you said crunkcore and I said I did a ska thing, but
yeah, it's mixing crunk punk and screamo with elements of hip hop.
Yeah, it's a fucking mess.
The Boston Phoenix is a band that does it. Described it as a combination of minimalist Southern hip hop, auto-tune croons.
also auto-tune crones. They get a bunch of old women up there. They have them sing through some auto-tune filters. It's
haunting. Their belly pain.
My children don't come to visit me anymore.
Right.
I don't know why she's Irish.
It's a really sad version of the opening from When Harry Met Sally.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
Hey, Chris, want me to tell them what they can do?
Please.
Oh, shit. They know what they can do. They know what they did. Go to patreon.com/stuckfeedtv. And that helps us out, kick us a couple of bucks a month, and you get cool stuff in return. And we're able to, because of your support, do new shows that distract from this one, which is nice. Like the Radio Free Midworld show or Days of Future Cast, a bunch of cool stuff, cool ideas turned into actual things. Additionally, iTunes ratings and reviews, go a long way. And hey, why not go to facebook.com/thosedamnrosskids and check us out there, too. Did I miss anything, Chris?
You got it.
All right. Sorry, America.
Sorry.